T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We hope you all had a great holiday weekend. Time for a brand new episode of Give Me the Hot Sauce. If you're keeping track, it's 1:32 at home. Our special guest coming up is Craig Elo, the former guard of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was on those great teams in the late 1980s and early 90s with Brad Daugherty and Larry Nance and Mark Price. Those were some good battles between Stacy's Bulls and the Cleveland Cavaliers. A lot of people thought that Cleveland had the advantage, but we're going to talk to Craig about all those battles that they had back in the day. But first, we want to talk a little bit about the holiday. I guess Tim had a big barbecue, and we weren't invited again, Stace.
America.
Same thing, you know, it's over and over again.
So first of all,
I don't know how this happened.
So first of all,
how the guest
I get, he's at the Indy 500, right?
Yeah.
I get a drunk phone call like you get from like your boyfriend or girlfriend, you know?
I get this
FaceTime. Hey, what are you doing, Stace? I'm like, where you at, man? Man, we're having the Indy 500, man, we're having a blast, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, when are you going up there? What's going on up there? Oh, we're just hanging out, we're having fun, da, da, da. He goes, hey, you want to come over to my house for barbecue on Monday? I'm like, oh, you better ask your wife first, because I know how that works. If you didn't ask Maureen, things don't go down.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll just come by. Bring all your family over. So fast forward to Monday.
Mm-hmm.
America, I bring 12 people of my family with me, a couple of neighbors, the dog. We go up there, we knock on his door over in Barrington, and no one answers. I ring about 3 times. Ding, dong, ding, dong. I'm listening. All of a sudden I hear, shh, be quiet. The dog barked, roof, and the next thing I heard, like he got hit. So obviously they didn't want us over there.
Yeah.
They didn't want you over there, Mark.
Yeah, I never
got
hit.
The first thing I said was,
Mark was part of the 12.
No. Mark had another 10 people with him.
It's like Jesus and his disciples, you know?
Yeah. So Mark, that's what I told him when he gave me the drunk call from Indianapolis. I said, hey, make sure you invite Mark.
Yeah.
You know, he's, oh, I'll come. I'll invite him, yada, yada. So you didn't get invited?
Nope.
Okay.
Pay no mind list.
Yeah.
Well, that's not exactly how it happened. First of all, I wasn't drunk. I was hammered. There's a difference.
Tim never disappoints in a party situation.
No. And secondly, FaceTime came in from my man over here.
Oh, okay.
And then he said, what are you doing Monday? And I said, why'd you just come on over?
Yeah.
And then he pulled a no-show. I texted him earlier in the day.
No. See, that's a lie. First of all, I said, mm-hmm. What time are you getting back home from Indianapolis? He said, 10 o'clock. I said, okay, check with Maureen and call me back sometime in the afternoon. Let me know if it's still a go, because I don't want to drive all the way out from the city for the Barrington. I got you. No phone call. So at like 3:30, 4 o'clock, I called. Ooh. Like, what's up, man? Oh, yeah, we're still a go. I'm like, well, it was supposed to be at 3 o'clock. Now it's like 4:30. Is anybody there? No, just come over at 5. We're starting at 5. I'm like, oh, man. So I went over there, Mark, 12 people. Everybody was hungry. I told my family. I said, hey, you know, we could have barbecued at my house. But they said, Dad, you barbecue? I said, no, guys, let's pack up the truck like the Beverly Hillbillies. And we went on straight out to Barrington. And, you know, we brought the dog. We brought everybody, Mark. It was just going to be a festive day.
And you could smell the ribs on the Traeger grill. Yeah.
And then I hear this
through the neighborhood.
And then I'm ringing the doorbell. I don't hear anybody moving. And then all of a sudden I hear you're Maddie, our producer.
Yeah.
Shh. Be quiet. Nobody move. And I'm like, is that Maddie?
Yeah.
All right, Maddie, open the door. Shh. It's not Maddie. I'm like, ah, oh, it's Maddie. already out. Okay.
Oh, man.
So don't, I'm not taking any more advice from this guy. Yeah.
Holiday party going wrong.
Another one. Yeah.
Every time.
What's the next holiday? What's the next holiday you gonna fake me and Mark out?
So we 4th of July coming up, right around the corner.
Yeah, it's right there.
So are you inviting us now on air?
Of course.
Okay. Right. You heard that.
Yeah, America, I'll be there.
You heard this. Is the Sriracha crew coming
too? No, Mark's invited ahead of time. I'm giving you that tuxedo shirt.
Wow. Okay. Okay. See what I got? Hey, 20 years of abuse. Remember what I told you, America, when I'm in trouble?
Yeah.
The blink of the eyes. I can't say it out loud because he's here. But when you see the eyes blink, you know I'm in trouble. Wow, that's low, man. You're low.
Yeah, all-time beef among friends. And yes. Speaking of beefs, if you happen to catch last week's episode with Scottie Pippen, it drew a lot of attention around the country, around the basketball world, as Scottie opened both barrels on both MJ and Phil Jackson. And not to say that we were surprised, because Scottie has made similar comments in previous interviews, but I think that a lot of the reaction that we saw was grasping onto two words, where he called MJ a horrible player before 1987 when Scottie and Horace arrived and they started winning. But I think, Stacey, when you look back on it, it was a bad choice of words for Scottie, but if you listen to the entire answer, what he was trying to say is that he was going for scoring titles and is not worried as much about winning as he was after they had a full team in place, which is a whole different message than the horrible player that so many people glommed onto.
Yeah, and it was really sad because, you know, Mark, that one word, that's everyone locked into that one word. How could you call Michael Jordan horrible? Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time. If you know Scottie, Scottie is unfiltered. And he's a guy that does, I mean, he'll tell you what's on his mind. And what he was trying to say was, before Phil got there, before Jerry Krause assembled the team, before Scottie got there, Michael Jordan wasn't really concerned with winning. He was more concerned with, okay, I got bad teammates. You know, he said in The Last Dance, I got teammates who are doing drugs, da 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 da. So you see where his mindset was. It was like, I'm going to get mine. So he was scoring. And so at the end of the day, I think people just they stuck onto that negative word of he was horrible. Maybe if Scottie would have said more like, you know what, he just wasn't the same player he was until we got here. You know, he learned how to win when all of us were together, Phil put in the system. I think no matter what he said, Mark, people were going to, it's a lightning rod because it's coming from Scottie Pippen. And people are, I mean, I've read some comments, oh, he's just mad because Michael gets all the attention, or, you know, Michael and this and that, you know. Just stop.
Yeah, and the other thing that people were mentioning is that why didn't one of the three of us jump in and stop Stacey when he's Scottie when he's making crazy comments like that? And, you know, we look at this show as a safe space. When we bring guests on here, Stacey extends himself to bring in some of his longtime friends from the league on. We're not running a Mike Wallace interview here where we're going to interrogate a guy.
No.
You know, Scottie said some things that, you know, maybe if you look at it, were inaccurate or unfortunate, but it's not like Stacey and I were here to interrogate him.
No.
You know, as to what his thoughts were about.
Because we could have did the same thing to Phil Jackson. We could have hammered him on some of the things. We don't do things like that. A guy comes on my show and says, Stacey, I want to come on your show. He's doing me a favor. He's doing the show a favor. And I'm not going to sit here and grill him about, oh, what's the situation with your wife and Michael Jordan's. You know, there was a lot of comments. How come you didn't ask that? Because we're not TMZ.
Right.
I don't do things like that. And if you have a friend and you're a friend of someone, you know, they should feel like this is a safe space. The questions that we asked Scottie were typical questions that Bulls fans want to know. What was your thoughts of The Last Dance? They've heard it outside, you know, on the Dan Patrick show. They heard it outside, but they want to see if he's probably still thinking that. So we asked that question. We asked, what was it like being on the final three-peat? You know, what was it like playing for six titles? You know, what was it, you know, what's your thought on the Warriors 72-10 team against the Bulls 72-10? Who wins that game? So these were all questions that I think that our audience who follow us really wanted to hear. But it was just one of those things where, you know, Scottie is going to speak his mind. And at the end of the day, he's his own man. Like, if that's how he feels, you have to respect that. Whether you like it or not, you have to respect that, because this is coming from a guy who's one of the top 100 players in history of the NBA, okay? Now, if Stacey King comes out and says what Scottie says, if B.J. Armstrong, Scott Williams, you know, guys who were role players on those championship teams, and Will Perdue, if we came out and said those things about Michael Jordan, we would be haters. We'd be guys like, oh, he carried you. You guys are ungrateful, da-da-da-da. But you put it into fact that here's a top 100 player saying this. He should be happy. You know, this is a guy who's like one of the greatest players of all time. He should not have any beef. He should be happy. And that's where I think it hits at home, because it's like, wow, this is a superstar player saying this. It's not a role player saying this. This is a superstar player speaking his mind and understanding, like, hey, look, this is what I saw. This is what I'm experiencing.
And a lot of Scottie's anger comes not just from the fact that he didn't feel like he got enough credit at the time when the Bulls were playing, but this whole Last Dance project. You got to remember, this documentary crew was following the team around during the 97-98 season, and it didn't come out until the pandemic hit, and they were kind of just sitting on it. Michael was looking for the perfect time to release it, and they found the perfect time because they had a captive audience. Everybody was at home. Nobody was going out, and you know, they got huge numbers to watch that thing. And because Michael had acquired the rights, he was able to spin it the way that he wanted to, and Scottie felt like he, again, was putting himself at the top of the heap, and everybody else was looked at as a poor supporting player. And, Stacey, there were also financial ramifications that really rubbed a lot of Bulls players the wrong way.
Well, I mean, you know, the NBA has likenesses, and you're supposed to be paid anytime that the NBA uses you, uses your likeness on any kind of promotion. And that was a promotion for a team. That's what that was told to Scotty and all these other guys. You heard Phil talk about, you know, Tony Kukoc didn't get mentioned a lot in that documentary. Ron Harper, guys who were pivotal in that last championship, didn't get mentioned. It was Michael's point of view. And that's Phil Jackson said the same thing. This was Michael's point of view. And when you're getting paid and you're the only one getting paid and you weren't the only one in the video, that rubs people the wrong way.
Right.
You know, yeah. Steve Kerr doesn't get paid. You know, Judd Bushler, the guys who are the role players. You know, Scotty is speaking for all of those guys. He's not just speaking for himself, like, oh, I didn't get paid, take care of me. It's like, and you heard him say this, it's the whole team. It's a team thing. And those guys didn't get taken care of. And you got to remember, too, the Last Dance is going to be on syndication at some point. There's going to be money made years after all this. It's probably one of the top grossing documentaries in history right now. It's like probably, I think I saw someone's like in the top 20 right now. And it's only been out, what, a couple of years? So when you look at how much money is going to be made after this, and then only one person is benefiting from it, it would rub me the wrong way if I was in that situation.
Yeah, so for all our fans out there, I guess our point is that we heard some of the inaccuracies from Scotty. And, you know, obviously no one here thinks that Michael Jordan was a horrible player in the pre Scottie Pippen era. I mean, Jordan in the year before averaged 37 points a game, made all defense. You know, he was a superstar player. Everybody knew that from the start. It was just a question of, you know, we let Scottie have some leeway into what he wanted to say. He made his points, and it was judged accordingly. I know a lot of Bulls fans were angry about it, but that's the way Scotty feels.
Well, and another point is, and I think what is missed in all this is that the Last Dance was supposed to be the video of the last championship, because that was going to be the last time that team was going to be put together. Phil had already made it known that he was leaving, so that was done. You know, then the team was going to be broken up. That was known from Jerry Krause was going to do that. So, you know, when you look at all this and the situation of, you know, how that was, that video was supposed to be made of that last championship, there was things put in the Last Dance that didn't happen during the Last Dance. You know, the Scottie sitting out 1.8 seconds, not going out there and sitting on the bench. And then that he had to deal with that. The migraine headache, all this stuff was brought into the Last Dance. It had nothing to do with the Last Dance. Michael was not even part of those situations, but they put that in the Last Dance, and that made Scottie look bad in the light. And then the situation where he didn't get his back done, Scottie decided that, you know, he's going to wait and get his back done when the training camp started. I thought that was selfish. That's something you don't say on camera, not about a teammate. Because you know what? At the end of the day, you won the championship. It didn't matter one way or the other if he waited or not. You still won. So, and everybody saw game 6 in that Utah series. Scottie could barely walk. And he even said it here, if it would have been a game 7, he would not have been able to play. And then that the fortunes of the Bulls championship might have been, Utah might have won that championship. So when you start adding, you know, old wounds and open up old wounds from the previous championships, it doesn't sit well with a guy like Scottie Pippen, because it's like, what does the 1.8 seconds have to do with the Last Dance? We won 2 championships after that situation. Tony now is a big part of what we're doing. You know, I don't have a beef with Tony, but you put that in there and then you're making me look like I'm selfish as well. So people, like I said, people really, you know, fans only see topical stuff. You don't see the behind the scenes stuff that we all are that we're all privileged to see. So before you start judging a guy, understand where a guy's coming from.
Yeah, and I think all Bulls fans would love to see Michael and Scotty get in a room and shake hands and you know talk out some of these differences and be able it's to sad. Appreciate it, you everything so. That they accomplished in the game.
You hope so, because at the end of the day, this was about winning championship for the city of Chicago. This is some of the greatest teams ever in NBA history. Those six championships were homegrown, were manufactured here. Your core group guys were drafted here. Jerry Krause doesn't get enough credit. You heard Scottie Pippen talk about that. Jerry doesn't get enough credit for being the architect of this championship team. So when you look at, you know, when, like Scottie said, you know, organizations win championship, you know, Michael always had this beef with Jerry Krause, and fans caught on to that. And so Jerry's never got the credit he deserved.
Crumbs. For,
yeah, well, anyway, Jerry's never got the credit being the guy. His name is Jerry West. He'd be in the Hall of Fame. He'd be, you know, a guy that everybody be talking about being the greatest GM. You win six titles with two different teams. Two different teams. The only holdover was Michael and Scotty in the second run. The rest of those guys were all new players. So that tells you right there, Jerry knew what he was doing when he put this team together. He knew what he was doing when he hired Phil Jackson. And the rest is history. Give him his credit.
Yeah, it's sad that Jerry Krause finally was elected to the Hall of Fame after he passed.
Yeah, he should have been. You know what? They should have gave him his flowers when he was alive. Right. You know, that's what you do that. I mean, you know, it's almost like, you know, they pick and choose. The Hall of Fame picks and chooses who they want in. A guy can retire tomorrow. Next thing you know, he's in the Hall of Fame. You know, Popovich can retire. Oh, he's in the Hall of Fame. You know, it's like, come on, man. Give the people their flowers when they're here, man, not when they're gone. It's sad that he didn't get a chance to see that, because it would have gave him all kind of vindications, because people thought, you know, he was terrible at his job. People thought, oh, you know, how did he get this job? You know, he's unfriendly, because Jerry never told people what he thought. Jerry never gave you an insight of what he was thinking when it came to making moves and drafting players. And, you know, the NBA is a situation where we're all friends. You know, people tell, well, I'm thinking about drafting this guy. I'm thinking about drafting him. Well, Jerry Krause never told you who's going to draft.
No, never.
Jerry Krause, everything was secretive. So when you ask, hey, Jerry, who you think about drafting? I don't even think we're going to draft this year, you know, and those are the kind of answers he would give people, yeah, which rub people the wrong way, because you never could get an idea where the Bulls were going, especially during those championship runs. You know, how are they going to keep this championship going? Because remember, three-peats are hard. Winning two in a row is hard. You know, put three and then win six out of eight, that is a very difficult feat. And again, if Michael Jordan hadn't went to go chase curveballs, you know, you're talking about winning eight straight championships. We would have done that.
So if you haven't had a chance to check out the Scottie Pippen interview, we did it last week. It was episode 131. Check it out on YouTube, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And we always appreciate our live YouTube audience, the people on the chat who always have a lot of fun during the show. So we appreciate them joining us. We're recording on a Thursday afternoon. What do you got for us?
So our boy Matty Ice, shout out to Matty Ice. He's our content creator guy. He goes out and finds things. The Last Dance is the 17th greatest TV show of all time.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
17th. Wow. So America, if it's the 7th greatest TV show, and it probably will go up as the years go along, the residuals off of this show, cha-ching, 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 okay? Only one person is benefiting from that. And you know, it's like having Seinfeld or The Cosby Show. You have this great TV show that runs for 20 years, okay? And Jerry Seinfeld had an ensemble of people. You know, George was pivotal in there. You know, Kramer was pivotal. You know,
Elaine
was, they were all Peterman. You know, even some of the minor league guys were Newman. Pivotal. Newman. Yeah. No. Even those guys were all pivotal. So those guys are all going to benefit. As long as Seinfeld is out there in syndication, everybody's going to benefit out there. So imagine if you're on the ensemble and you played on that championship team, and you could be paid for the rest of your life, your kids, your grandkids could be paid from this, that you're not getting that.
Yeah, it would make you pretty angry.
It would make you angry. Yeah. That's why people don't understand situations like, you know, you don't walk in this guy's shoes. So if you don't walk in this guy's shoes, you don't know what you're talking about. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you know Digits is the 17th best-selling bourbon right now?
He's just making that up.
Yeah, he's just...
Hey, come on.
You're drinking it. It's right in front of you if you're watching on YouTube.
I'm a big part of that.
He's the reason why. He's the reason why the sales are up.
As I mentioned, we are coming at you on a Thursday evening. Game one of the NBA Finals a little bit later in Denver. The Nuggets hosting the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler in game one. Before we get to that...
Jimmy.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in coaching. There was a lot of stuff happening this past week. Monty Williams got the bag.
Listen.
Adrian Griffin is the new coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Great
Nick
hire.
Nurse, Philadelphia 76ers. There's always great, a lot of
great,
stuff happening.
Great hire. My boy Adrian Griffin deserved it. He's paid his dues as an assistant coach. He was under Nick Nurse for the longest. It's his time. He's a very good coach. He'll be good for Milwaukee. But you look at Monty Williams.
Wow. I mean, $78 million for 6 years.
Look at these numbers, okay? This is a guy who's been to one final, hasn't won a championship.
Yeah.
And he's going to make over $13 million a year, higher than Greg Popovich, who was the highest paid coach last season.
Then you he had the power, though, because he didn't want to go to Detroit.
Well, exactly. But when you're getting paid $78 million, I mean, that is crazy. So now you ask yourself, who Eric Spoelstra, what is he really worth?
Right.
What is he really worth? A guy who's been to six NBA finals. He's with a team right now with seven undrafted players. If that doesn't tell you that he's a great coach, what is? You know, because you could say, oh, well, you know, he had LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Bosh. That's why. But he's been to the finals in the bubble with Jimmy Butler and you know, no superstar players to go along twice.
This is the sixth time.
Twice in the last, 4 years that he's taken a team with undrafted players. So if Monty Williams is worth $13 million, $78 million, what is Eric Spoelstra? What is Mike Malone worth, who's been there in Denver now of eight years now? And he's put a good resume there with Denver. He's in the finals, and he's probably going to win. I will get back to our picks later, but, I mean, that team is playing out of its mind right now, and it'd be hard for me to see him beat. But what are those guys worth?
I know you've talked about the Pistons before. They had Cade Cunningham, got hurt early in the year. He missed all of the season. He was a former number one overall pick. They brought in Jaden Ivey. They made a nice trade. They've got a nice young squad. If they had a couple of veterans to that mix, they could make a jump pretty quickly. So Monty Williams could be stepping into a really nice situation.
Well, he's I've said this about this team. I mean, they're building their team the right way. They're going through the draft. They've got some studs. You know, Cade Cunningham missed all last season. They basically redshirted him. He could have came back. They wanted to get these other guys, you know, playing. Jaden Ivey showing he's got superstar capabilities. So that's going to be a devastating backcourt in the next few years in Detroit. Then you also remember they got some young guys, you know, some young bigs. You know,
and they picked up Wiseman.
They pick up Wiseman. They've got Durden, who's there. Jalen Durden is a good player. You also got the kid they brought from Sacramento.
Marvin Bagley,
the second pick in the draft. So they've got a good nucleus of bigs who are athletic. They can switch. They can guard pick and rolls. What they need now is to find them a small forward. You know, they got Bogdanović, who I like. I think Bogdanović is good coming off the bench. But if they can go out and get a small forward, like if they were able to get like a DeMar DeRozan and put that kind of player on their team would be a team to watch. That kind of player would elevate Detroit to be one of the favorites to be in the Eastern Conference top four next year. If you had that kind of player, and I'm not saying DeMar's going there.
Right.
I'm just saying that caliber of player that can change the fortune of your team with the experience and still be able to go get you buckets.
You know, as it turned out, you mentioned Adrian Griffin going to Milwaukee. He was Nick Nurse's top assistant in Toronto. This will be Griffin's first opportunity to be a head coach. The Bucks made the hire before anybody else. Were you surprised that Nurse didn't go there and wound up in Philadelphia?
Maybe they didn't want Nurse.
Yeah, maybe not.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe they didn't want Nurse. Maybe, you know, I mean, Nick Nurse is a good coach, you know, and maybe they needed something that – one thing about Adrian Griffin that he's going to bring communication to the team. You know, players respect him because he played in the league. Sometimes coaches who don't play in the NBA don't get the respect that they probably should, because some NBA players, especially teams that don't win, those players are like, what is he going to tell me? He's never been in my shoes. He doesn't know what I'm dealing with right now. But now you got a player who's played in the NBA, was a player that was a role player, but played, you know, some really good minutes in the NBA. So he's got that respect, and he's been an assistant for, man, a long, long, he was under Thibodeau for a while.
Yeah,
so
he's here as a player and a coach.
He's been under some very good coaches, and it's his turn. You know, another kid, Sam Cassell, you know, it's time for someone to hire him. These retreads of guys coming back, you know, well, let's hire this guy because he was over here. You know, you see a lot of that. Sometimes you might need to get new blood. You might need to get some guys that can relate to these players, especially these teams, Mark, where they're young. They're really young. Monty Williams has done a good job as far as working with young players and developing young players. So I see him being a guy that's going to develop Cunningham and Ivy and develop those bigs. And then maybe someone comes on when that team is developed and they're like right on the edge. And, you know, maybe after that 4 or 5 years, you know, they may replace him. You know, who knows? You know, sometimes coaches are stopgaps, you know, to getting somewhere. They take you to a certain level, and this is as far as they can go. You know, that's what they said about Doug. You know, Doug took the Bulls, you know, 50 wins. He took them as far as they could go. They handed the baton to Phil Jackson, an unnamed coach. Next thing you know, bam, they're gone.
What did you think of Bob Myers stepping down at Golden State? Do you think that means it's going to be a big summer and maybe Draymond Green is elsewhere?
Surprise. I mean, you know, I mean, man, Golden State is I think they underestimated the role players they let get away. I think that was huge. You know, you lose Otto Porter, you lose some of these guys. You know, Iguodala didn't play at all this year. Guys who have been big for you coming off the bench, they went with their younger guys. They traded Wiseman. You know, Wiseman never really fit in there, you know, and it, you would think because the one thing they did was lack size that they would have kept him and developed. And so with moving him and then seeing him develop here in Detroit, it's got to hurt a little bit, you know, and then seeing that they, you know, you needed that kind of big against the Lakers to go against, and you know, Anthony Davis, you know, and you didn't have him. So they're going to have to do some serious soul searching during the summertime, because losing Bob Myers is huge because he's the architect of right. that whole team. So losing him, they must have confidence that someone, the assistant GM who's behind him for all these years, can step in and do that along with Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr has been in the front office before. So it's not like, you know, oh, he doesn't have any experience being a, you know, an assistant GM or GM, whatever. He's been in the front office, so he'll be able to help whoever is transitioning into Bob Myers' role.
Our special guest, Craig Elo, is in the Sriracha waiting room, so we want to keep him waiting. We'll bring him on to talk about the Bulls, Cavs of the past. We'll also ask him his thoughts on the upcoming finals matchup between the Nuggets and Heat. But first, we want to tell you about our good friend, Jeff Vukovich. When it comes to insurance for your auto, home, and business, make sure you contact the king of insurance, our good buddy, nationwide agent, Jeff Vukovich. You can reach him at jeffvuk.com. That's jeffvuk.com. And as always, the best jingle in the business.
Nationwide is on your side. Woo!
Nice work by the Sriracha crew, fading into a tight shot of Stacy. That's really good work there. Appreciate that on YouTube.
Way to go, guys. That's why we pay you the big bucks.
Coming up next, Craig Elo to talk about the Bulls Cavs, the great rivalry in the 80s and 90s. That's next on Give Me the Hot.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is now our pleasure to welcome in this week's special guest. He is Craig Elo. Played a long time in the NBA for the Cleveland Cavaliers, Houston Rockets, Atlanta Hawks, and I think he even had 1 year in Seattle. So yep. He's joining us from his lovely home in Idaho. He's got the lake behind him, enjoying life out in the great Northwest. And Craig, thank you so much, first of all, for joining us. And when you see Stacey King, I know you remarked before we got started about the championship banners here in the Sriracha Studios. That bring back some painful memories?
Yes, it's so painful. I can barely hardly stand to look at it, but I'll bear down and go ahead and do it.
That's funny, Craig. Hey, you know what? We talk about, you know, before Michael hit that shot, we talked about how Cleveland had such a really good roster that you guys, if you hadn't ran into the shot, that you guys possibly would have had at least one title, possibly. You would have at least had to play Detroit to get out of the East, but you guys had a good enough roster to possibly beat them.
Oh, I totally agree with you, Stacy. I was fortunate enough. Well, Mark Price, my good friend and teammate in Cleveland, had appendicitis, and I got picked up on a 10-day contract. And that was the same year that they drafted Brad Doherty with the number one pick and Ron Harper with the number seven pick. They traded for Mark And then Coach Wilkins was hired to coach this young roster. But yeah, they built it through the draft and through free agency. And the key was getting Larry Nance in a trade to Phoenix. But yeah, we just ran into a buzzsaw. It was either we battled the Pistons in the late 80s, or then all of a sudden y'all came along in Chicago. And yeah, we just couldn't get by Chicago either. So. But I think with the roster that they assembled having not traded Ron Harper, yes, we probably would have had a really good shot at a title.
You know what? I've always said that back because I came in 1989 and you guys traded him for Danny Ferry, who was sitting out, was in Italy or whatever. They traded the rights to bring, you know, and I felt like that really killed you guys because I don't think people know how good Ron Harper was before the injury. I've always said, you know, before Kobe came in, this was a guy that I said that was as close to Michael Jordan athletically than anybody in the NBA at that particular time. 6'6", long arms, yep, two-way player, could score any in three levels. And I thought once you guys traded him to LA and for Danny Ferry, not taking anything away from Danny Ferry, but that was a huge, huge, you know, loss for you guys. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. The pieces of the puzzle were great. I mean, you have a center in Brad Doherty that as a rookie, since his rookie year, grew into a Hall of Fame kind of a career. And then Mark Price was our point guard, and Ron Harper was our off guard. We had Hot Rod Williams that came off the bench. And the pieces of the puzzle were all right there for us to make a run at some championships. And we had a great bench. And it's like you said, Danny Ferry did not want to play for the Clippers. So he was in Italy, I believe. And when we traded Ron, we didn't get Danny until the next year. And I thought it really did. It messed with our chemistry for a couple of years, and we had to get our feet back on the ground. But I think the one thing that we always, ran into was the Chicago Bulls. And it was in the first round or the second round or even my last year in Cleveland in 92. We were in the conference finals with y'all. So they kind of gave up on us, and they asked, I guess Coach Wilkins resigned, and they brought in Mike Fratello, and I was a free agent that year, so I was lucky enough to go to Atlanta with Coach Wilkins.
When you look back at the landscape in the Eastern Conference in the late 1980s, Boston was starting to fade as Bird and McHale, mm-hmm, and Parrish were getting older. Knicks had a pretty good squad, but nationally, everybody was talking about the Bulls and the Cleveland Cavaliers as two teams on the rise. Was that palpable, the rivalry that you had with Chicago, knowing that you were the two teams that had a chance to grab hold of the Eastern Conference?
Oh, no question about it. And even the year that the shot took place, I think we won 57 ball games that year. And Chicago was in our division, and we played them six times. The expansion hadn't happened yet. So, yeah, we won all six that year against Chicago. But you meet those guys in the first round, and you got a guy named Michael Jordan that can pull off some miracles. It was definitely an opportunity for us to compete with the Bulls. But year after year, the Bulls just kept getting better and better. And it was fun playing in the division with them because, back then it wasn't saturated with TV. We just had, a couple of games on TV. But if it was the Cavs and the Bulls playing, it was always going to be on.
Craig, take us to back where the – and Jordan hits the last shot on you guys. What was going through you guys' mind? Because you guys were the favorite in that series. And so you go in that timeout, and what is Lenny Wilkins telling you? Because you know who's going to get the ball. Everybody in the arena knew who was going to take that last shot. How come you guys didn't, like, double him?
Oh, we tried, and the problem was, Stacy, Coach Wilkins was pretty traditional in the way he coached, and we never really deviated from kind of those traditions. but he took Larry off of the ball, and that allowed the passer, Brad Sellers, to just get a clean look at the floor. And in retrospect, if it would have been me and Harper double teaming Michael Jordan, we probably would have kept him from getting the ball. But yeah, Michael went one way. Actually, I think he went to kind of step towards midcourt. Larry kind of stumbled, and that was exactly the way we wanted him to go, was away from the basket, because there was only 3 seconds. But when Larry stumbled, it allowed Michael to get to the wing, and then I was kind of playing lazy defense because I thought we were Larry would be on the front of him in the double. But all of a sudden, I look up, and he's on the wing, and now I'm running out there to try to catch him, and before I get out there, he's already running back to the same spot he started at. And then that's when, yeah, he just stopped on a dime. I was running, so my momentum kind of carried me by him. And, yeah, it was painful watching that shot fall through the net, because that timeout, it was so loud because we had just scored on the previous play and put us up. So it was deafening, and I can't even really remember what was said in the huddle other than what you just said. We know who's going to get the ball. We just need to keep him from getting it. But, yeah, it was – I mean, he did it years and years. So I don't feel bad about it. I was glad I was in that game and got the opportunity to play. And then, yeah, from then on, we battled pretty much up until the year that, like I said, 92, when they kind of changed the roster.
You know – that moment is painful enough to see Jordan make the shot in Richfield, Ohio, and silence the entire crowd. But yet you had to live through the decades of the Gatorade commercial, Be Like Mike, with him hitting the shot. And then you see in the background Craig Elo slumping to his knees in horror. I mean, you've probably seen that play hundreds and hundreds of times. During the heyday of the Like Mike Gatorade thing, did that piss you off every time you saw that commercial?
Oh, not really, because Gatorade actually called me and asked me if it was okay to use it, and they didn't send me any money. They just sent me Gatorade for life. So.
They should have sent you some money, some money.
Oh, you might need to go out here and renegotiate that now.
I need to renegotiate.
Yeah, there's exactly. No statute of limitations on that one, bro. Yep. They done showed that many, many times over. There ain't enough Gatorade on the planet for as much money as they made on that. Nope.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't mind, like I said, being part of history like that. I mean, if you Wikipedia the shot, it'll pull up that shot by Michael Jordan. I just remember we had like 20,000 in the stands that day. And it was deafening, and then it just went eerie quiet. And, it just took the wind out of our sails and kind of gave the Bulls and propelled them. Now, I believe they lost. Y'all lost to the Pistons for the next couple of years, but you paid your dues, and yeah, you got three banners behind you that you were part of.
I tell you what, we had Mark Price on my show earlier, and we talked. I've known Mark since high school, so I saw him. Right. They didn't even have 3-point lines in high school, because had they had 3-point lines in high school, he'd probably be the all-time leading scorer in high school basketball history. So one of the things I've always said about Mark Price is that he's Steph Curry before Steph Curry. And people, you know, who never seen him play don't know. Mark Price had unlimited range. Mark Price's handles were some of the best that we had ever seen when we were playing. I mean, Isaiah, you got Stockton, all these point guards. He was the one guy, Craig, that we had nightmares trying to trap. Like, we always would blitz the pick and roll and try to get the ball out of his hands. And he would always put the ball behind his back and split the defense and be able to get to where he wanted to on the floor. He had a nice little mid-range game. He was just unbelievable. I don't think people really knew how good Mark Price really, really was.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And, going back to y'all's Oklahoma days, I believe he played Wayman Tisdale's Tulsa team in the high school finals. So, but, yeah, Mark was – don't let him he was a fiery competitor. It helped me get better in the summers by working out with him. So, Yeah, I mean, and if you watch inside the NBA or on NBA TV, when they sit around on the couches, Isaiah, Stockton, all those guys that he had to play against, they got the more credit due, I guess, to them. But they credit him with actually coming up with splitting the screen. And yeah, he just got low, and he was really good at it. Yeah, he was fun to play with, because it was some nights where he was so hot that we took the ball out of his hands. I got a lot of assists because we were running him off the screens, and he knocked down jumpers. And yeah, he may not shoot like the distances that Steph Curry and those guys do today, but he could have if he wanted to. But he was just, he was lethal out there, and I was lucky to play with him.
Craig, what do you think about today's game? It's become many nights, it's just a three-point shooting contest. You don't see much post play. Back to the basket centers have kind of disappeared. Do you like the evolution of the game, or do you think that it was better back when we had more physical play, low post play, and the three-point shot wasn't king?
Well, I'm still, like I said, friends with Mark, and we talk about it, and also with Steve Kerr.
Yep.
And I see Ron Harper every summer. He comes up to a charity golf event up here and plays. And we talk about I actually tell them they're red coats because they went from the blue and orange to the red and black, and both got championships that way. But I love the days. I just remember it was Bill Cartwright at first with the Bulls. And Oakley and those guys did not let you get in the paint, and they would knock you on your derriere. But I love the physical game that the era that we played in. Now, Stacy was he was more finesse, and he didn't really hit you. But that big derriere of his, he used that a few times. But
he went after Danny Ferry that one year in the playoffs. Remember that?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, there was a heated rivalry between us. And I mean, y'all had Bill Winnington, Will Perdue, Luke Longley, and another time. But playing the Bulls in that old Chicago Stadium. Those fans were right on top of you. And, the paint was ruled by the big guys. And I am a little disturbed because when I do talk to Steve Kerr, he's like, man, you and I would have flourished in this era, because that's all we do is shoot threes. And, even the Joker now is a guy that, it's amazing watching him play and what he does. I really enjoy his style. And, but yeah, I think Stacy might have had a few problems, guarding him out around the 3-point line, because he can put the ball on the deck and go at it too.
Nah, he'd be locked down because I had quick feet. He wouldn't have got by me. Now, Bill Cartwright might have had a hard time, but yeah. not me and Scott Williams. We get out there and guard people on that perimeter. We blitzing that pick and roll, boy. Woo-wee.
Yeah. That's the one thing I do remember about Chicago and Phil Jackson, man. They, if you were on a side pick and roll or even a high pick and roll out at the top, y'all were always going to knock try to keep the ball from penetrating. So it wasn't easy playing the Bulls when they did that.
You know, Lenny Wilkins is one of the greatest coaches in NBA history. Talk about your experiences playing with him and what it meant for you to play with him.
Oh, I tell you, it was the best opportunity. I spent 3 years in Houston. I was kind of the whipping boy at the end of the bench for Coach Fitch. My fourth year, they let me go. And that was the same year that Lenny Wilkins was hired in Cleveland. And when Mark had to go into the hospital for the appendectomy, Coach Wilkins was looking at a list. And because I played at Washington State and his friends, he's pretty good friends with my coach, George Raveling. That was the name that jumped out on him, and he picked me up on a 10-day contract, and I knew it was the opportunity that I wasn't going to get again if I didn't perform. And he gave me all of the opportunities I needed to do that, and they were building a young roster, so I came along at the right time, and I really cannot talk about Lenny Wilkins without feeling emotional because he is such a great human being. He made me a better player and a better person. And even when he resigned in Cleveland and took the Atlanta job and I was a free agent, first thing he did was sign me with the Hawks. And we went down there and I never won the Central Division with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And we should have won a few of them. But the Pistons and the Bulls were doing it. And when I get to Atlanta, we win the Central Division and we lose in the second round to Shaq and Penny with Orlando. But yeah, just a great experience. I'm still very close to Coach Wilkins. He lives in Seattle and we're just on the other side of the state in Washington. And yeah, it's always fun to get to talk to him. And I see him just about every year too. There's an event we go to over there.
Hey, Craig, you know, we mentioned the Stacy getting involved in a scrap with Danny Ferry in the playoffs. I guess what he went after Jordan and nobody else was gonna try to retaliate.
Yeah, Mike almost got ejected in Cleveland because Danny Ferry threw an elbow at his face on a cross screen. It was Jordan was defending the cross screen and then he was time delaying it and then time delaying Danny Ferry, and Danny Ferry kind of threw an elbow in Jordan's face and then Jordan had to hold back. Like, he really wanted to punch him. I think it was because it was North Carolina Duke. But he really wanted to punch him.
Yeah.
But he had restraint, though. He had restraint because he knew it was a playoff series. We had another game going. And I think you were winning that. Y'all won that game. And so we come back to Chicago. And, you know, there's no statute of limitation. I can be honest. Danny Ferry was on a wanted poster. We were going to get him, man. We were going to get him. And so he didn't play. He didn't play a lot until the game was decided. And then Lenny Wilkins, I think he knew that he was on the hit list and decided not to play him. And then at the end, he kind of put him out there. And we had a little thing going. Whoever's the closest to Danny Ferry, he goes to the basket, take him down. He must go down. He must go down hard. So he cuts back door, and Will Perdue had the first shot at him and passed on him. And so I'm on the other side. I think I was guarding Hot Rod Williams. And I cut off Hot Rod Williams because I was the only one that could catch him. So I flew down there and I hit him really hard. I mean, today I would be ejected for a week.
Flagrant 2.
Yeah, flagrant 2, fine $1 million. But back then there were hard fouls.
Draymond Green.
Yeah, exactly. So we get the hard foul. And, you know, so it's the one thing I remember about the whole thing was the stadium went crazy because they knew that it was going to happen. And then as I'm walking by the bench, you know, some of the guys was like talking, jaw jacking, da 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 da. But no one was really stepping to me. Everybody was just talking from a distance, right? The one person that stepped to me was Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr got in my face and was just like, you know, that's Bush League, blah, blah, just cursing at me, right? And I looked at him, I said, man, if you don't get out of my face, I'm gonna choke you. And he just kept on. I grabbed him by the throat and I started to squeeze him, and then they separated us. But the one guy I remember, and then when he came on my team, we laughed about it because it's funny how things happen. Like you have these battles against people and then you end up being on the same team with them, which you never thought would ever happen. But he was a good sport about it though. But I there was a good rivalry though with Cleveland.
Yeah. And you know what, Stacy, I got to give Danny a little bit of, I mean, when he threw elbows and stuff, it was, I don't think he was intentionally doing it. Cause I got to know Danny pretty well. I think he was just clumsy and slow white guy that he played at Duke and that made his career. But, yeah, man, he was, I felt for him because he came in with that big contract.
Yes.
Not playing really, really, you know, did a thing on his mind. But when he got out there, I mean, yeah, he was just like, clumsy and just always throwing stuff But he's a really good dude, and he grew on you. He drove me to the airport when he first got to Cleveland because he was single and I was married. So I made him come pick me up and take me to the airport every time.
That's seniority, baby.
Gotta earn your stripes.
Yeah, seniority.
I don't care how much money you make. Well, trust me, Jordan used to make us grab every bag off. That's when we were flying commercial. See, you fly commercial, you got to go off and get your up to turnstile. You got to bring all the bags to the bus. And we had to do all kind of stuff. I mean, we got rookie haze. I hated it. But you know what, Craig? You don't even see that now. I travel with the team all the time. time now, you know, being a broadcaster, and there is no rookie responsibility.
No.
Rookies don't carry bags. Rookies don't do anything. They don't pick up checks. And it's really sad because that's like a rite of passage when you come into the NBA.
It really is. And I did it all 3 years I was in Houston. Every time the bus pulled up at the hotel or to the airport, I was the guy that was always having to unload and do that. And I agree with you. And yeah, I mean, you could throw that word hazing in there, but it was definitely the rite of passage by doing that. And if you didn't do it, you'd get into more trouble.
Yeah, get fined.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, those were the days. Those were the days, Craig.
So, all those hot sauces in front of you, which is your favorite?
Oh, I would probably say, because I like Mexican food, so I would probably say our St. Pat's Verde. It's really good with Mexican food and eggs, but they're all delicious. And you know what? Because you're a friend of the program, we're going to send you four
there
bottles.
You go.
So you're going to get all four
just
flavors.
Like my Gatorade.
Yeah.
There'll be no money.
We're just going to send you four bottles because you're a guest on the show and a friend of the program. We're going to send our producer, Maddie, he's going to get your address. We're going to send you four bottles of all the flavors that we have here. And trust me, it's delicious.
I'm right there with you. I love Tex-Mex, and okay. The better for me. So.
Okay.
Hey, before we let you go, Craig, can you give us your thoughts on the upcoming finals and who do you like in the series?
Boy, I tell you, two great teams right now. The Nuggets are definitely, they paid their dues and they're finally in the finals there. And they got a really good roster. I mean, Porter Jr. could go off anytime. Murray is somebody. I was actually at the game when he got his first triple double against the Indiana Pacers this year. Really like his style of play. And if the Heat didn't have to go through seven game series, I would say if they played, where it was, if they would have won the second round or the third round by getting a few rest. They're going to be worn out, but boy, Jimmy Butler is somebody I really enjoy watching, and Spoelstra I absolutely love. I mean, here's a guy that you talk about willing his way to the NBA. That's him. So I do like the Nuggets just because of their roster and their ability. You know, and Stacy can vouch for this. The Nuggets have an advantage playing in Denver.
Yes.
The first 4 minutes or five minutes of the first quarter, you're huffing and puffing.
Yep. Yep. That's an advantage.
So I'll take the Nuggets, though. I'm going to take the Nuggets.
Hey, Craig, I got a couple of quick questions for you.
Okay, Tim.
One is the last 3 weeks we've been talking a lot about The Last Dance, and people may have forgotten that you came up in The Last Dance as well with Ron Harper and his comment. And so I just wanted to hear what you had to say about that.
So I told you Ron comes up to a charity event up here. So the first moment I saw him, I just beelined for him and was like, what the hell were you talking about on The Last Dance? And the thing about it was they put it on earlier than it was supposed to be on. So I was at home by myself. And when Ron Harper said that, now I give it to Michael. He was like, they put ELO on me, and that's the wrong thing to do. I called Larry Nance, I called Mark Price, I called Brad Doherty, all of them, and said, did Ron really say that in the timeout? Did he really say I got Jordan? And they were all like, no, I didn't hear him say that. So when I beeline for Harper, the first thing I said to him was, hey, I really enjoy watching your son play at Rutgers. But what you said on The Last Dance, that really cut my heart out. And he was like, oh man, you know, no, it was drama. That's all. It was for drama.
Wow.
A lot of drama going on these days.
Man. Well, speaking of great drama, is it true that one time you were guarding Larry Legend, he said, I hope your mom's watching?
Oh,
I'm about to embarrass
you. No, he said, yeah, I hope your mom's not watching because I'm about to embarrass you. And I was like, why would you do that? Why would you say that to me? So, yeah, I kind of was a swing man like Pippen, and so I could guard like the three or the two or the one sometimes. So that night against the Celtics, yeah, I mean, I thought I was playing some pretty good defense on him. I was keeping him from, you know, that's the one guy I was quicker than, so I could stay with him. But I think in the first half, he was like 1 for 9 or something like that. And that when we came out in the second half, that's when he told me, I hope your mom's not watching. Yeah, he wound up with like 31. So it was embarrassing. And I did call her and ask her, and she was like, yes, I was watching. So,
and I was embarrassed.
I was embarrassed, yeah.
Hey, Craig, don't give yourself some credit, man. You are a very good two-way player. You are a very good defensive player. You're on our scouting report, as you know, we'd always talk about how good a defender you are, that you can switch on any of the players, you can guard it, get over screens. So don't shortchange yourself on.
Well, you put on Larry and MJ. You gotta be
during that era. He's going against Hall of Famers.
That's what I'm saying.
So you got Dominique Wilkins in Atlanta that you had to play against. You know, you had you know, Xavier McDaniel in New York. I mean, there's a ton of guys that you had to guard at multiple positions. So don't discredit how good your defensive player you were. You were a very good defensive player, man. That's coming from somebody in Chicago that's giving you your props.
Well, I appreciate that, Stacey. And I do know the rule for us was when we did play the Bulls, because Ron was such a great offensive player, I would take Michael so he could do the offense and rest on defense. And that's the way we did it. And then when Steve Kerr joined the Bulls and I was in Atlanta, we went out to eat before or after the game. And he was like, hey, you know what? Phil Jackson hates you. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, every time he was talking about when we played the Cavs and now the Hawks. Yeah, he's like, knock Elo on his at. And I was like, what? And he's like, but that's good, though, because you caught it. You caught his eye. So, yeah, it was fun getting to talk to Steve after he joined the Bulls.
Yeah, you got mad respect on our end, man. So don't ever discredit. I mean, this guy can shoot threes. He can handle the ball. He can play guard. I mean, I saw you at Washington State. I mean, I almost went to Washington State. Kelvin Sampson recruited me to go play out there. It was just too far. It was too far from me at the time.
It was. Yeah, that was it's a long shot
from Oklahoma. Yeah, Oklahoma. Oh, yeah. It was a long, man. Woo-wee. I would have got lost out there, bro.
And Craig, you should have told Ron Harper when you bumped into him that you had to go somewhere else and piggyback for 3 rings in Chicago. What, you got 2 with the Lakers, too?
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
Yep.
He's in the right place at the right time.
He became a defensive stopper, right?
Yes.
He became a defensive stopper, and I was like, yeah, you didn't do that in practice. I always did it to you in practice.
But here's the funny thing about that. My rookie year, he plays for the Cavs. He gives us 40 at the old stadium. You guys trade him out to the Clippers. We go out on our West Coast trip. We're going to play him out with the Clippers. He gives us 40. So he gave us 40 in 2 different uniforms within a 2-week span. That's when I knew. I was like, this dude is bad. Cleveland messed up by giving this dude up. This dude can
Krause,
play.
And Krause probably had him on, I'm getting this guy.
And then the sad thing happened, he tears his knee up. Because that's the year that Cleveland had, the Clippers had, like, Danny Manning blew
Mark
his
Jackson.
Knee out. All these guys got hurt, you know, about the same time. And it was so sad because Ron Harper, I'm telling you, before Kobe came in and we were considering Kobe the closest thing with Michael Jordan, Ron Harper was that guy. And I don't think people really appreciate, even when he was here in Chicago, you know, he lost a lot of his athleticism, but he had a high basketball IQ, which enabled him to play with this Bulls team. And, you know, we talked to Scotty last week and we were talking about, you know, they always say the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr's 72-10 team, who didn't win a championship, how they would do against the Bulls 72-10 team. And everybody on the Bulls side said they would demolish that team because of the length and the size and who's going to guard certain guys on the Bulls. You know, you can take Steph Curry away with Ron Harper. Scotty can switch out on him. You know, any of those 3-point shooters, they can guard. But who's going to guard Michael Jordan? Who's going to guard, you know, even Luke Longley? Luke Longley would get you buckets inside, you know, if there was a matchup that they could take advantage of on Draymond Green. You saw the size hurt him against the Lakers this year.
Yep. No question about it. And I totally agree. I mean, those championships that Ron won with the Bulls and the Lakers, he was always taking the ball out of the other team's scorer's hands. So, yeah, I was really impressed with his ability, because when I was when he was a rookie, it was so fun. We didn't win a lot of ball games, but Chuck Persons and him were like battling for the rookie of the year. And I believe both of them played so bad at the end of that first year that I think Mark Jackson won it.
Yeah, he did.
With the Knicks, yeah. So, but yeah, if the ball was in Ron's hand when he was trying to get that rookie of the year, don't even go past half court, because you're not going up. It's going up. So, but yeah, he was definitely an offensive threat, and he wanted to be the Michael Jordan for the Cavs. Yeah.
Well, Craig, thank you so much for taking us down memory lane. Watching those great battles between the Bulls and the Cavs in the 80s and 90s was just a whole lot of fun. We appreciate you catching us up. Enjoy that beautiful lake in Idaho, and we got some hot sauce heading your way.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me. And, you'll have to have me back on after I try some of these.
All right, yes, there you go.
I want an honest opinion. And don't let, because we beat you with the Bulls and the Cavs, don't let that influence you, okay? Give us an honest opinion, all right?
I will do that, yeah. I'll be very, very honest.
Okay, cool, Craig. Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you.
Craig Elo, our special guest on Give Me the Hot Sauce. Coming up next, we're going to give our predictions on the finals and talk about the finale of The Succession. Tim has some strong thoughts. That's coming up next on Give Me the Hot Sauce. A lot of fun visiting with former Cavs guard Craig Elo. A lot of stories about the 80s and 90s rivalry between the Bulls and the Cavs. And we're talking about the hot sauce. And if you've been following Stacey on IG and all social media, you see that he's been out in Jewel checking out the product.
Yes, you know, I have to do my research to make sure the hot sauce is on shelves, because we have a lot of people looking for it.
Yeah.
You know, we had some people, it's not in their Jewels yet, but it's coming. So there was out in Park Ridge. It was in Oak Park, Lamont.
It's going to be all through Chicago.
Yeah. So just some of you guys, it may not be in your store now, but just be patient. It's coming. It's coming.
And Christopher Walken has a special deal, right?
That's right. We're having some offers because we're celebrating the hot sauce, and we got some new codes.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
great.
One of them's called Walk and Fire, not to be confused with the restaurant, Mark. That's where you can use the code Walkin, spelled like my name, and add fire to it.
Maybe you should tell the folks how to spell your name, Walkin.
No, if they don't know it, there's no point. If they can't spell Walkin, then they don't know who I am, and they don't get the discount, so...
Oh, Walken for those folks at home.
Thanks. Maybe they can't spell fire.
Oh my god. Is there off button? Off button, please.
Go ahead, Chris.
So
wrap her up,
come
buddy.
On, wrap fire, it up.
Use Walken Fire, a Walken Q to get a free bottle of 1871 or the Q with any order. I mean, any order. Use that code. Walken Fire, a Walken Q. I hope they know how to spell Q.
So the Rascal Whispers is going to wrap it all up with the free bottle?
It's a little extra packing for that little piece of, you know. But he's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah.
Well, if you haven't tasted the Chicago Fire 1871, it's the hottest of the bunch. Mm-hmm. It'll burn your tongue, taste buds.
It's a weapon.
Yeah, it's seriously hot. So, and the King's Q is awesome. Right now it's grilling season. So you should get a bottle of that. Just if you're grilling burgers, you're grilling chicken, you know, whatever. It goes well with everything.
Well, we got Craig Elo's prediction on the NBA Finals that gets started this evening. Stacey, let's start with you. Not just a prediction, but kind of break down the series for us before he gives your pick.
Well, listen, it's going to be tough beating Denver in Denver with the altitude. Miami's goal is to go in and try to get game one because of the long layoff that Denver has had. This is the chance to get that first game, because the objective of any team coming on the road is to split, get one. If you can get two, great, but you want to get that first one from Denver tonight because they've had that 10-day layoff and they're going to come out a little rusty. But at the same time, you know, they're going to have to hit threes because Miami has been doing really good with his zone. You know, I don't know why it's shocking everybody. I mean, people run zone all the time, but for some reason in the playoffs, teams are not prepared for it, and they've been able to take Boston out of their offense, New York out of their offense. They took the Bulls out of their offense with it. And so the problem with Denver is because Jokic is such a good high post center. He can come into those spots in that zone, the elbows, the free throw line extended inside where the dotted lane is, in the safety zone. He can come in there and catch that ball and then make the zone collapse. And if it doesn't collapse, he can score it, or he'll high-low with, you know, with Aaron Gordon, or he'll find shooters in the corner. That's what makes it going to be so tough for Miami to really run that if he's in the game.
Miami's hoping to get Tyler Hero back as early as game two.
Is he
going to be able to make a difference coming off a broken bone in his shooting hand? How much is that going to be a problem for him?
I mean, his conditioning is going to be the biggest thing. You know, how well is his condition? One thing about Miami, they stay in great shape. When you're out, I remember when I played for him, Pat Riley's first year, I sprained my ankle. I had a third-degree sprain, had a cast up to my knee. He had my ankle taped to a bike. I was riding a stationary bike, you know, circuits. I was just like, man, this dude is obsessive. And so they always stay in shape, game ready. So I'm not really worried about his condition. What I'm worried about with Tyler Hero is that being put in a situation now where the team has played well without you.
Yeah.
You know, where do you fit in now? Where do you fit in? Guys have been playing. Jimmy's been carrying the team. Guys have played well. Caleb Martin has played like an all-star caliber player.
And he's got to take minutes from Caleb Martin.
Yeah, you're going to take minutes from Caleb Martin. You're going to take minutes from Gabe Vincent. I mean, where do you fit him in at now? Duncan Robinson, who's been the forgotten man during the regular season, has come in and played extremely well. Even though he's not a good defensive player, Miami's been able to hide him, and his shots have been huge for them. So where does Tyler Hero fit with the way Miami's playing now? Because when he went out, he was a number two option. Now that he's gone, Caleb Martin has moved into that number two option, and they have really developed a nice chemistry with Caleb Martin in there. I mean, he could easily been Eastern Conference player or Eastern Conference Finals MVP. They gave it to Jimmy Butler, but he easily could have went to Caleb Martin.
Miami stopped playing Kevin Love and Cody Zeller late in that series against the Celtics. They're
not
going to
be able to do
that
this year.
Yeah, I mean, the Joker – you got Bam Adebayo, who's undersized at about 6'9". They just don't have the size to match up with
Cody Jokic. Zeller has got to play. You know, Kevin Love has got to play. You know, the one thing about Joker is, and Joker is causing so many teams problems, is because he's not a traditional big, okay? What he does for Denver, he gets the ball off the glass and starts to break. You don't see 7'4" or 7'3" guys dribbling the ball off the floor, initiating the offense, finding guys, cutting to the basket. And what it does allows Denver's, you know, shooters to get out and run. You know, Jamal Murray doesn't have to bring the ball up 94 feet under pressure. So guys are running, filling lanes. And so Jokic is coming down the floor and no one's stopping the ball. Once Jokic gets to the free throw line, you're in trouble. You need to pick Jokic up full court and make him have to hand the ball under pressure. If you let him walk that ball, bring that ball down there with no duress and just pick you apart, it's going to be a long series. It's going to be a short series. It's going to be a long night. But if you, once he starts bringing the ball to the floor, Bam Adebayo, who's quick feet, he's got quick hands, he should be up playing him, making him turn, make him have to give the ball up, make him have to bring the ball up under pressure. That slows their run down. Now they're not able to get out and run.
So we had the graphic up earlier. You want to give the folks your prediction?
4-2 Denver. I really want to see – listen, I really want to see Jimmy win. Jimmy's been now to the finals twice, and he's always going to be a Bull in my eyes, and he's one of my favorite Bulls players. I want to see him win a title. I just don't think this matchup, he would have had a better chance against the Lakers than this team. This team has paid their dues. This has been one of the best teams over the last four seasons. They've come so close and then be so far away. Injuries, you know, they had key injuries to Jamal Murray. Michael Porter Jr. has been out with back injuries. They haven't had a full roster. And now to see them play, everybody's healthy, I just think it's their time.
Whispers, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to change it now. I'm going to bet a full bottle of digits on Miami to win it all at 4-3.
Who are you betting?
I'm going
Scotty?
Miami.
No, but who are you betting with the digits?
I'm betting Ben over here. He keeps looking at me like, I kind of agree with you, so I'm going with it.
All right.
Okay.
No?
Okay. No, Ben's like, hey, man, look, I'm working.
Come on, you sound like Stacy making money. NCAA picks all of a sudden.
You could win the digits.
Why don't you? Well, see, we should have had.
I took Miami.
So you're going to bet him now, Ben? Okay, all right. Listen, if he doesn't pay up, Ben, no, I got you. We'll make sure he pays up.
Yeah, I've got Denver in 7. I think Miami wins game one because of the rust. I think they're going to steal game one. It's going to be a hell of a series.
I don't think it's going to happen.
You don't think they're going to win tonight, Miami?
I don't think they're going to win tonight. I just don't.
Yeah, how can Miami upset anybody, right?
A whisper's will bet you bottom of digits.
Listen, the reason why, America. I'm just telling you. I played in Denver. Yeah. I played college basketball against University of Colorado in Denver. And we had a pressing team in college. So we'd come out, I mean, we'd press you from the time we got off the bus to the game was over. You were in the shower, we were still pressing you. But again, in Denver, first bad. 2 minutes, it did
man code bad. Violation.
See, only he would think something like that. Say, so America. So after about 2 minutes, we like yeah. Ray, we tell Billy Tubbs,
gotta go out.
I need to come out. When the Bulls, we would go there, and we had great teams going in there, and they weren't very good. They were decent, but they're not very powerhouse teams. Yeah. They would give us fits. Yeah. We would find ourselves down by 20 in that first quarter because all they would do is just run and press. Lord help you if you had to have a back-to-back and had to play in Denver the next night, the second of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
You might as well forget it. But Miami, the only chance they got is a 10-day rest. But I just – Denver now, man, Mike Malone has his team focused, man. Yeah. You saw it against the Lakers. They could have wilted and let the Lakers take it to seven games. They go in and win a tough road game in Los Angeles that the Lakers had to have. And they went in and closed out the show. It's just their time, man. It's just their time.
Yeah, it
time.
Looks that way.
You don't think Riley's got him on oxygen deprivation training right now?
They haven't any time. Man, a quick turnaround if it goes 70.
That's
the hard thing because it's a quick turnaround. Yeah. You know, that series was a grueling series against, you know, Boston. It was a grueling series, you know, with the Knicks. I mean, it was just those were two grueling series. And not to mention, you had to fight pretty much the whole way through this. Like, it's like the Warriors, you know, the movie, they got to get back to Coney Island. That's who Miami is. You know, Miami's are the Warriors. They got to fight all these gangs to get to the championship. So you had to beat the Bulls. You were down double digits. You win. You go in, you face the number one seed. You beat them. You go play the Knicks, who were playing really well at the end of the season with Jalen Brunson, and you beat them. And then you beat the number two seed, and you beat them on the road in a game seven, which nobody thought was good because they had won
especially
three in a row.
After where they lost game six.
They won three games in a row, Mark, after being up 3-0. Nobody, and you're lying if you did. You're lying if you said that Miami is going to win game seven. I don't even think people in Miami was even saying that. So, yeah, they got to run out of gas at some point.
Yeah, and Jimmy Butler's wearing his big face coffee shirt on every TV appearance.
You know what? Listen, if I'm on TV, I'm wearing a hot sauce shirt. Hot sauce. I don't know what you're talking about, Mark. Jimmy, I ain't mad at you. Jimmy, look at us over here. Look at Mark over here talking trash. Look what we doing over here.
No, hey, I ain't talking trash. Listen. I think he's doing the smartest thing he can. He's going to get
advertising.
He's trying to copyright Himmy Buckets. He's going to have a clothing.
Terrible. Okay, first of all. Just keep it. I gave you the name Jimmy G.
Right.
I gave it to you. I could have copyrighted it. I gave it to you. Okay. Because that, you know, he asked me for that nickname when he was only playing 8 minutes a game. Okay. I gave him that nickname, Jimmy G. Buckets. Jimmy G. G stands for gets. That's it. Roll with that, bro. You got a Nike. You had a Nike line that had all that, you know, all that apparel. Now you want Himmy. That just doesn't even sound right. It doesn't. I know you want to be him.
I'm him.
But Himmy just sounds like, oh, it doesn't even have a ring
man
to it.
Man code violation.
Yeah. Man code violation. I said now, if he was drinking some Hennessy, okay, you could call himself Henny Butler. Okay?
There you go.
Henny, that sounds better. But the Himmy.
It doesn't have a good ring to it. You're right. But Jimmy's going after every opportunity to cash in on his playoff success.
I ain't mad at you, JB.
Hey, a big event came up in television land. Actually, a couple of them. The finale of Ted Lasso and the finale of Succession. It's all part of What Are We Watching? The sizzling new Elgin location at Randall Road. Biggers Mazda is our sponsor. It's the biggest Mazda store in the state of Illinois. Biggers is offering a bottle of Stacy's signature hot sauce with first test drives of new or pre-owned vehicles. It's your choice. Everything from the coolest SUVs to the stunning Miata. So join the fun at 2100 Randall Road in Elgin at Biggers Mazda. They are the sponsors of What Are We Watching? We got a special treat for you today. A couple of times early in the history of Give Me the Hot Sauce, we had a very talented impressionist named Al Foran, the Irish impresario. He can imitate just about anybody in the world. He just entertained us in a couple of our early episodes. We're going to have him back on this summer. But just earlier this week,
this is what brought him into the limelight in the first time.
Oh, my goodness.
earlier this week on social media, he put out, and I'm sure that Succession isn't as big in Ireland as it is here in the States, but he put on a nice impression of all the lead characters as Succession wrapped up its run. And we're going to bring that to you, share the talent of Al Foran.
We're all good, okay? Big plays to make. You know, fuck the Sibs. Fuck Connor. Fuck Tom. Fuck Waystar. You know, fuck Legacy, okay? We're all good. The future looks pretty bright, okay?
I just fucking joked with Roman. What's the return policy? He's obviously still hurt, but what happened? It's just business. That's it. Said I killed his dad. Oh, I just acquired the fucking company. It's all I wanted to do. And then I put fucking in charge. So we're all good.
You little fucking shit. Who won the fucking war, Greg? Me, okay? You're my slave for the rest of your fucking life, okay? Tell a little worm Hugo to get the fuck out of the building, okay? And if he doesn't, okay, you physically remove him and throw him the fuck out, okay? Fuck off, Greg.
I don't really give a fuck about anything. Fuck it. Madsen's a fucking prick. So what? We're fucking done, okay? So, fuck it. Where is Jerry?
I feel great, you know? This is a really big future for me. That whole quad squad thing was ridiculous. It wasn't my idea. It was Shiv's. So I feel good. Thank you, Tom.
I told you my kids were not serious people. Now fuck off.
And that'll wrap it up. The talented Al Foran with those great impersonations on Succession. And as I said, we're going to have him back on this summer to entertain us with. He does more impersonations. Whisper, I think he could probably do Christopher Walken.
Well, we'll have that challenge, won't we?
The Walken off. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So, Stacey, have you been watching Succession?
I watched the first part, but listen, man, I can't be watching all these shows. I'm still in From. From is my show right now. And if you haven't watched From, okay, Succession is good. I stopped watching it because I don't have time to watch it because I'm watching all these other shows. But I am going to go back to that because I when I was watching it, I liked it. So I'm going to go back to that. But right now it's From. From is the show to watch. And if you like The Walking Dead and you like vampires, I'm telling you, America, it is a dope show. It is awesome. Yes.
So, Whispers, did you catch the finale?
Yeah, and I still...
Are we going to have Nick leave the room so we can talk about it?
No, that's a... Listen, that's the price.
Spoiler alert.
So the finale aired on Sunday on HBO, and this is Thursday evening. If you haven't watched it yet, as the great Logan Roy would say, fuck off.
Because
you should have watched it.
Yeah, listen, America, if you're not watching it, I advise you just to go ahead and check out right now.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be mad at us on Twitter. Somebody, yeah, you guys.
Here's your warning. If you don't want to know what happened in the finale of Succession, we'll see you next week. So long. So what did you think, Whispers? I mean, Tom was the biggest bumblehead in the history of television, and somehow he winds up on top.
Well, I still have to go back a few episodes here because every time I watch it, the thing I can't believe the most is that Fisher Stevens was actually married to Michelle Pfeiffer at some point.
Oh, because
he's just so weird to look at, and he's despicable on the show as well as such a weasel as Al Foran just was referring to. But I don't want to, pat myself on the back, but I predicted it right ahead of time. I told my wife, I said, this is exactly what's going to happen.
Will she vouch for you on that?
Yes, she would.
Okay.
And she was like, damn, you called it. And, but the reason why is because all the kids with that, if you look at the semantics of what they say all the time, yeah, right? Yeah, okay. All this reassurance.
And
none of them are
just
their
couldn't
dad.
Stand the idea of Kendall being in charge.
No, none of them are their dad. And they finally realized it in the end that the only guy that was stepping in the shoes was the guy who was kissing his ass for the last year was Tom.
So
that's how it worked out.
Yeah. So, Nick, you got that to look forward to, which is nice.
Yes.
And that's my theory.
But it's a great show. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, go back. What is it? Four seasons?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So really good show. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. You start doing that
all the awards.
Oh my god!
All right, well, before we wrap things up, Stacy, is Mike waiting outside?
Yes, Mike is back. He's been consistent the last few weeks. My bodyguard is back. Yes, he is. Mike, if you're out there listening, because I know you listen to every show, this is for you.
Yeah, right.
If you interrupt me again like that, it's a throw punch coming. All right,
I haven't given you one last week.
I haven't given you one in a long
time.
Three
last week.
I'm not listening to you anymore. Windy City Limousine provides championship service. Ask for Mike Almaroth. Making a reservation is so easy, it's a slam dunk. Ask for Mike Almaroth. Let Windy City break the full court pressure of traffic and get you to your destination in style and on time. Windy. Ask for Mike Almaroth. Contact Windy at 847-916-9300. That's 847-916-9300. And ask for Mike Almaroth.
There you go.
Limos.
Windy City, a special service. If you're going to Taylor Swift this weekend at Soldier Field and you need a ride, make sure to call Mike.
No, Mike said he's not working.
He doesn't want any part of that, huh?
You don't want no part of that. No, you don't want no part of that. That traffic downtown, he's not.
But the limos will be running for Windy City.
The limos will be working for Windy City. So if you want to go down there and have a good time and catch Taylor Swift, who's sold out another stadium.
Yeah.
The
story that's making the rounds now is that people are wearing adult diapers to the show so they don't miss a song.
Wow, I thought Tim was the only one who wore that on the show. Way to go, baby. Yeah.
Oh, baby. See, that's always been your advice. Hey, go with the ass diapers,
America,
you know?
America, I'm glad someone finally listened to me, okay? Hey, listen, Taylor Swift does a 3.5-hour show. Yeah. You don't want to miss it,
nope.
Okay? So whoever is out there with astronaut diapers, don't feel embarrassed. You know, like you go into the bathroom on yourself, don't be so obvious. You know, don't make the... Don't do that. Just be cool. Just
don't make a face.
Yeah, don't make a face. Don't be like shivering. Just point up to Taylor Swift, go like this, and be just go Taylor.
Speaking of celebrities and Taylor Swift, did you see the video circulating of Aaron Rodgers dancing around at the Taylor Swift concert out in New York? You know who he's with?
Who?
Ruth from Ozark. He can't help himself.
Ruth.
It's always got to be a celebrity these days.
Ruth.
Really? But she's married to the singer Mark Foster.
She was right next to him in the video.
She was right next to him.
Well, maybe she...
You might as well kill me.
Yeah.
You might as well kill me.
Boy, she may have gone full Ozark and then and split from Mark.
That's another great show. So
that is another
great
show.
Wow. Yeah.
That's another great show. Ozark. Oh, man. Oh, Ruth. Ruth, that's my girl. That's my girl. You never knew what side she's going to flip on.
Yeah. So now she might be flipping
over
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Throwing spirals.
Wow.
Well, on that crazy note, we're going to bring the show to a close. Whispers, what do you got over there?
What are you talking about?
This is for our guest, our upcoming guest, Al Forens. Yeah, this is what put him on the map, was doing his impression of... And he's coming up with another fight. He's going to fight Chandler.
He's
coming up pretty soon.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, he still hasn't tested for USDA for the steroids yet.
He was on them.
he's on a big time. So
he healed up that ankle all right.
Yes. Oh, and I forgot to say, I got some news. So, we read the ad about Biggers, right? You know, the Biggers is doing the hot sauce, come in and test drive. And, that's been really a good ad for them. I just found out from Mr. Biggers.
Jim Lechter.
Our good friend, Jim Lechter. Francisco's been there the last 6 weekends, and he's been getting hot sauce for free. He's been test driving all kind of cars. He test drive a minivan.
Wow, that's quite a scam.
Yeah. So he's been getting sick. So we've exposed him today on giving me the hot sauce. So Jim Lechter, I'm just telling you right now, if you see a guy, he has a different hat on every time you see him.
Looks kind of like a penguin.
Yeah, he waddles in. He has a LL Cool J bucket hat on. He'll have a little tight shirt that says Mount Prospect Gym Class 1972.
Really tight.
Yes, really tight. That's him. So he's not representing us. So he can't go anymore now.
We never talked about Haney Lomachenko.
Who?
Haney.
Let me tell you something, man. Boxing fans. I don't know if you watched the Devin Haney Lomachenko fight. I thought Lomachenko won. I thought he won. I thought it was close. I thought it was close, but I thought Lomachenko was much more busier. And we never even talked about the Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia. I told you, America, don't mess with little Tank. Tank's got TNT in both hands. He can knock you out with either hand. And now the big fight now, because Devin Haney, I'm sorry.
You see what that shove cost him?
Oh, yeah. What was it like?
400 Gs.
Yeah, what's what he gets.
That's fine.
Well, Lomachenko didn't even say anything. It's one thing if the boxer's talking trash in your face, and even then you're supposed to show constraint. He was just standing there. Yeah. And he just he pushed him, and it cost him $400,000. But back to that, Lomachenko won. It was a close fight. Could have went either way, but I thought Lomachenko was the busier fighter. I thought, especially late in the rounds where you score all the points. Yeah, I thought it was but I don't see Devin Haney beating Shakur Stevenson, or I don't see him beating Tank Davis. I think Tank Davis is the guy in the league. And then we got a Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford fight. Oh, I think it's in July. Oh, baby, we got the fight card coming, baby.
And Power Force is coming back September 1.
And yes,
Joseph Sikora announced it himself.
Hey, Joseph Sikora said he's going to come on my show.
There you go.
So America, be watching that episode. We got Tommy from Forest. He's going to come on the show.
There you go. There's a tease.
Yeah.
Time to wrap things up. Want to thank the Sriracha crew for their hard work. Want to thank our friend Randy Merkin, who's been helping us out some guests. He helped us get Craig Elo today, so thanks to Randy
Randy.
We're going to have some great guests coming up the rest of the month. It might be the approaching the offseason for basketball, but we're always going to bring you the best guests here on Gimme the Hot Sauce. So until next time, Stacy.
Drive home safe in Chicago. Beep, beep.
Oh my goodness, it's only preseason, but I'm hyped. Neil Fox, Jimmy G, Buckets, gets buckets. Oh my goodness, give me the hot sauce, Neil Fox, give me the hot sauce.
What are you doing, Dragic? Did you not get the memo? There it goes, can go upstairs.
Let me step back and kiss myself. Oh my MVP gosh, time, Windy City Assassin does it again.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.